very appropriate. Victoria, producing the program, our friend from ESPN Radio's Unsportsmanlike. You hear it in the morning on 99.9 The Fan here in Raleigh. Evan Cohen at Evco Radio joins us. I know you're a proud Patriots fan. Are you? I know you're all in because apparently security needed to be called. That's my understanding. On Drake May, how is it with your new quarterback?
That's not false, what you just said. That is not false. All right, let me explain myself. Because
sure.
Adam Fairley had the right setup there. Not that I'm judging, but I mean, well done by you.
Thank you.
All right, so here's what happened. So I think it was last week. Must have been Monday, Tuesday. I don't remember when it was. Tuesday of last week. Drake May was on our show. And I said to him specifically that if the Patriots draft you, you need to come on with us the next day. And, you know, he did the, oh, yeah, yeah, sure, whatever. And obviously he's got a million
right.
responsibilities when he gets drafted. So we go to the draft. Thursday night, we walk into the draft. We're in downtown Detroit. 275,000 people are there, as you know, Adam.
Yeah.
And I just walk in, and I was with Michelle Smallman and Nuno, our producer. And we just keep walking towards the stage. I'm like, okay, so like we're here at the stage. And it never really occurred to me, this doesn't feel like the right location for us. So Caleb Williams gets drafted. He walks off the stage. The first person he interacts with is me, who came up with the big line of, congrats. And he said, thanks. So, you know, he and I are very close now. Jaden Daniels walked off the stage. And he goes the opposite direction because there were Commanders fans there on the opposite side of the stage. Then Drake May, of course, UNC's own, gets drafted. And I said to Nuno and Smalls, I said, all right, I got to go over and like kind of say hello, whatever. He comes off the stage. The very first person again is me. I say, hey, you know, you were on with us this week. It was great to have you. Congratulations. Really appreciate you coming on. And I did not want, I sound like LeBron right now, not one. Not two, but three pats on the back.
Oh, wow.
You don't do the three. You do the one. Maybe you get to two, like, a, hey, good job. I did three. He smiled, kept on walking, all right? Wasn't rude to me, just whatever. I think nothing of it, Adam. Then, 2 minutes later, a security guard comes up to me and says, excuse me, sir, you can't be here.
Oh, wow.
And I said, you as in me or like us? And they said, you can't be here. And I said, okay. And they looked at my pass and they said, you cannot be here. And they just removed us from this area. And like, you know, Smalls and Nuno followed me because they were not going to try to leave me high and dry here. So I can't confirm nor deny that Drake may have gotten me kicked out of the draft. But it is possible Drake May got me kicked out of the draft because when I did the big congrats to Caleb, nothing happened.
Right.
When I did the three pats on the back to Drake May, that's when I was bounced. I don't know what you and Victoria think on this. Did I get kicked out by Drake May, yes or no?
It does sound like that is there's like a 75% chance that that is what happened. Also, we have had no mention of Chris Canty here. So either Chris wants no part of you, Michelle, and Nuno, or I think there's 25% that Canty got you kicked out of the draft.
Interesting. Okay, no, I'm going to tell you why. Excellent observation, and that is why Adam Gold is so great. Okay, here's what, now, conversely, Canty couldn't get in the draft.
What?
That's not a joke. Canty had family members that he had passes with, and they were trying to get in the draft. And for whatever reason, they had the wrong passes to get in. So if you think about the unsportsmanlike team, okay, on 99, the fan rally, right?
Right.
What people hear every single morning with us, what happened to us last Thursday is one member couldn't get in the draft, and one member got kicked out of the draft. I'm not sure who had the worst night, but we were not necessarily represented well on Thursday night.
Well, first of all, you had the best night because you have a story to tell forever.
That's true.
Forever, you have a story to tell. So it's easy who had the best night. And frankly, you guys, you guys could have been kicked out anyway, right? It might have had nothing to do with Drake. It might have just, somebody at a higher up just thought better of the situation after three picks in the draft. Maybe your pass was only good for three picks.
That's true. We were not eligible for pick four. We were only eligible. Marvin Harrison Jr. may have gotten us kicked out. He didn't want the first person to greet him when he got off the stage to be me. I guess that's what we're saying.
You know what?
It was certainly an interesting night.
That's more likely maybe even than Drake May. Marvin Harrison could have been worried.
I'm not accusing Drake May of actually kicking me out. I'm asking the question whether or not he did.
Mm. It is, I think it'll be a 30 for 30, I'm sure, coming up in future years from ESPN. Evan Cohen is joining us from Unsportsmanlike here on ESPN Radio. Do you like the pick? Are you excited about the future of Drake May?
Well, you guys know him way more than I do, obviously. What I will say is, yes, I am excited. And the reason that I'm excited is because if everyone tells me how good he is, the concept of maneuvering the draft to move down, to ultimately move back up, to theoretically have drafted J.J. McCarthy doesn't seem as logical and likely as what we just saw with Drake May. Now, why do I say that? Canty, you mentioned him, a guy who played 11 years in the NFL, believes that this guy, Drake May, is much closer to number one overall in the draft than he is number four overall in the draft.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so when he's telling you that, and you can get that value at three, and you don't have to play him right away because of the fact that you have Jacoby Brissett, NC State,
right, absolutely.
Like, I kind of look at it and say, this is a great scenario. I'll give you one other thing, and I'm sure you guys have talked to him, and I know Victoria, to her credit, wanted the Panthers to get him, you know, to wait for this year to get him.
Yep.
But I will tell you, when we had him on last week, Adam, he was as polished as could be. He felt Patriot-like in his answering without saying anything.
Yeah, he's a sharp kid. You know, it's interesting. I wonder if the expansion of NIL and marketing opportunities for these guys, I wonder if they will come to the league even more ready and polished than they would have otherwise. What Caleb Williams has been doing, what like Dr. Pepper and like Wendy's commercials for more than a year. Now, I just wonder if there are some benefits to how college athletes have become such bigger stars now than they were. Here's one thing we did talk about with regarding Drake May, and just because we dealt with it with Bryce Young. He's not going into the greatest situation in terms of the roster. So by you saying that Jacoby Brissett may end up being the starter this year for New England, that would make me feel so much better about May's future, because I wish that the Panthers would have started somebody else for much of the year in place of Bryce Young, just because you can build so many bad habits from running for your life and not being ready for the transition from college to pro, that I would love to see Drake May have the benefit of not playing in year one.
I completely agree with you. It's why I said to you, I want to say the last time that I was on, that I thought the Panthers should have been in the market for Russell Wilson for this year to basically restart the Bryce Young career, as crazy as that sounds. I know that sounds ludicrous to people, but I really believe that. And we have been joking, but I mean, not really, because I believe it about my quarterback rules on our show. And how I say, and rule number two, very important for those keeping track at home, 99.9 The Fan and Rose, that draft a quarterback when you want one, not when you need one.
Right.
Now, New England needs one, but having Jacoby Brissett allows you to want one. It's why my favorite pick in the draft is the one that everyone hates.
Mm-hmm.
It's Michael Penix Jr. to the Atlanta Falcons. I love the fact that they drafted a quarterback that they don't have to play until 3 years from now, because more likely than not, when he's ready to play, will be 2 or 3 years from now. He'll have the experience, he'll learn, and he'll grow. I think that the problem last year for the Panthers, I totally agree with you. I don't care how bad it was Andy Dalton last year, right? Was there backup?
Yes.
I don't care how bad Andy Dalton may have been in starting games and how loud the fans would have gotten. I would have started him for at least the first half of the season, barring injury last year, or any backup quarterback, however you want to look at it, because I just do not believe that most rookies are ready to play.
I could not agree more. You know, the other argument, the argument against where we are, and Evan, obviously we're right. The argument is that you have to take advantage of the financial window when you've got a quarterback on that cheap deal for 3 or 4 years, that's your window to build out the rest of your team, except that your quarterback's not that good at that point. And I think we can point to Patrick Mahomes, Jordan Love, even Eli Manning sat behind Kurt Warner, and it was not the Kurt Warner that went to the Super Bowl with Arizona or played with the Rams. It was a Kurt Warner who was just kind of okay with the Giants. But he sat behind Warner for the first 5 or 6 games of his rookie season. Philip Rivers waited 2 years behind Drew Brees to take over with then San Diego. There's too much evidence that waiting helps. And I mean, just look at the track record of quarterbacks that we throw in right away. Trevor Lawrence, we still don't know if Trevor Lawrence is a franchise quarterback. We know he's Jacksonville's quarterback, but I don't think we know if he's a franchise quarterback yet, because he hasn't been consistently good enough.
I'll tell you something. I don't mean this to insult you, but you and I think a lot alike on this, so I don't want to insult you too much on this. But rule number 3, quarterback rules. Pay QBs to make wide receivers great. Don't pay wide receivers to make QBs great. Why do I bring that up, Adam, in response to what you just said? I don't care if I have to pay my quarterback $50 or $60 million a year if he's that dude. It doesn't matter how much you pay your quarterback, as long as, rule number 1, you can find a quarterback that can outperform his contract. If I told you you ran the Kansas City Chiefs, and the salary cap was $200 million. And Patrick Mahomes said, the only way I will play for you moving forward is if you pay me $100 million a year. What would you do? Because if it were me, I'd pay him $100 million a year and would not think twice. I would then say to the other 52 guys, we have $100 million for all of the rest of you. We are going to find a way of making this work. Even if it's 52 guys ring chasing, or maybe 52 guys taking less money, I don't care, because this sport, in many ways, as great as it is kind of dumb. It's only about one position. If you don't have a quarterback, you don't have a team. You know how many flaws the Chiefs had this year? And they still won the Super Bowl for the second straight year.
Yep.
It's about the one position.
Right. And to piggyback on that, Evan Cohen, at Evco Radio on Twitter, is that I believe that there are only a certain number of those guys that you do pay. And I think once you get below that tier, like, for instance, I'll use Daniel Jones, who played at Duke and had a very good year 1 with Brian Daboll, not a very good year, and got injured in year 2, and they did not replace him. I think eventually they will. Is that when you pay a serviceable quarterback, right? When you pay that guy great quarterback money, you lose. You lose. Like,
because he can't outperform that contract.
Right.
It's not that he's bad. Let me tell you, there are 2 ways that teams win the Super Bowl, okay? And it's all going back to the quarterback and the allocation of funds. You either have a quarterback that's on his rookie contract, or you have a quarterback that's going to be a Hall of Famer. So it doesn't matter what contract he's going to be on, right? It does not matter. If you look at recent Super Bowl winners, Patrick Mahomes, it doesn't matter how much he's getting paid. He's going to the Hall of Fame. Mm-hmm. If you look at even Matthew Stafford,
absolutely,
that's where he's going, guys. He's going to the Hall of Fame, whether people think he's a Hall of Famer or not. Sure, every so often there's a Nick Foles. Cardinals rookie contract, and he was the quarterback really for that team that year. Well, Tom Brady is a Hall of Famer, the greatest quarterback to ever live. Brock Purdy goes to the Super Bowl on a rookie contract. Two ways, rookie contract or Hall of Fame. And if you're not one of those two, and you'll know in many ways by that second contract, if you're not on the rookie deal or you don't think you have a guy that can go to the Hall of Fame, the resistance is not shown by people in this league to then say, you know what, we don't actually have the guy. We should have drafted a quarterback, rule number two, when we wanted one, not when we needed one.
And I'm not paying Daniel Jones $40 million a year to not be the guy. Real quick, I love Michael Penix.
Anyway, are you doing that just to get at the boss man, Brian Groby, to just get at him, knowing he's originally from that area as a Giants fan, relocated in Carolina, just to annoy him right now? I think that's what you're doing.
Oh, right? No, I'm sure he's sitting in his office going, yes, speak the gospel, Gold, because he doesn't like him either, I'm sure. Like Daniel Jones is a wonderful kid, but he's just not a great NFL quarterback. He's not worth paying $40 million a year. I wouldn't pay him $20 million a year either. But the Penix pick, I would have loved even more if they traded back a little bit and made it. If they had traded back, although you run the risk because Michael Penix had really shot up draft boards if those things even happen. Because obviously there were a lot of teams who were interested. The Raiders would have been interested for real at number 13.
13. Yeah, but here's the thing, Adam. Here's my only issue with that. I get what you're saying, right? Because you're talking about value, pick up extra.
Yeah.
To this day, I have no issue with the Chicago Bears trading up to get former UNC quarterback Mitchell Trubisky.
Ooh.
Now, people hear that and say, what is wrong with you? Listen to what I'm saying. I have no issue with them trading up to get him. I have an issue with them picking the wrong guy. And so what I mean by that is, if the Atlanta Falcons believe that ultimately Michael Penix Jr. is the guy, I don't care if they took him above where other people would take him. You have to be sure that your guy that you're going to get is actually the guy. Where you get in trouble is when you get that wrong. So, like in the case of Trubisky, I love the Bears going up and getting that guy. They just got it wrong. That's the problem.
Yeah, well, and you can get quarterback wrong easily in the NFL, unfortunately.
And you get fired if you do.
No question about it. The sport, college football and pro football, might as well be just two different sports. The offenses are so different. Did you catch, before we let you go, did you catch Bill Belichick on the McAfee draft special?
Only clips, because I was at the draft, or at least until, you know, Drake May kicked me out. But I mean, it was awesome from what I've seen.
Yep.
Also, I saw, I may be wrong on this, but I thought I saw something today where he's going to be at the Brady roast for Netflix on May 5th.
Oh,
he's
phenomenal.
Be one of the people roasting Brady.
Oh, that'll be great.
I can't wait for
that. That'll be phenomenal. Evan Cohen, ESPN, unsportsmanlike, in the mornings on ESPN Radio, at Evco Radio. Next time you come on, we'll do our UNC basketball player random draft again.
I mean, Hendrick Rogel reached out to me and was wondering when we're doing this.
That was my first pick.
Hendrick
Rogel was my guy.
When you need him. Where's Pete Chilcutt when you need him?
He's with Dave Popson.
Kevin Salvadori, hello, on line one.
Oh, Jeff Lebo would like a word, sir.
That's too mainstream. You can't. King Rice? Can we go King Rice?
Hey, King Rice, a heck of a... Is he still at Monmouth? Or did he leave and take another game?
Derek Phelps, Brian Reese.
Brian Reese.
Donald Williams.
That was a very good... Pat Sullivan would like to talk with you. All right, we have to go. You have to go. Evan
Cohen. I'm Mokhtar Enjai. See you later.
I'll talk to you later. Evan Cohen, ESPN, unsportsmanlike. We could get carried away there.
I love him.
Oh, he's the
best.
He's
awesome.
He's great.